Avodazara Perek Dal, Mishnah Yud Beis 4:12, the last of the Perek, and the case is again, and these are the first words of our Mishnah, the exact same opening words as the previous Mishnah, Hemetaher Yeno Shel Ovid Kochavim, a Jew who is preparing kosher wine under the auspices in the presence and factory and premises of an idolater. So how is that going to work? So the previous Mishnah said we have two criteria. It needs to be open for surveillance, and it needs to be surveilled by Jews, and if you haven't got that situation, you have to hire a watchman. Instead, we'll set a machlokas if it matters if the wine is stored in a different Gentile's property than the one who owns a factory. But a machlokas Tanakama said it does make a difference, and Rabbi Shimon Elazar says it doesn't make a difference. Two Gentile properties have the same halachas. There's a machlokas shown on that part of the halacha lemaisa as well. But here in Mishnah Yud Beis, we're going to, according to the Bar Tanura, who learns like Rashi, give a third criterion, and the need to be present for this wine to be kosher, besides what we said so far. And that is, says the Mishnah, it has to be, Hamatar Yeno Shel Ovid Kochav Menosna Bershuso, if you, the Jew, are preparing kosher wine under the auspices of a Gentile winery, it has to be, Vahala Kosavlo, the Gentile has to give a written contract, an authorization, like a receipt, sort of, to the Jew that says, Hiskabalti mimcha ma'os, I've received payment from you already. Even if the Jew hasn't yet paid, he'll have a piece of paper that says he has paid, which means the Jew can come and take the wine whenever he wants, doesn't need to check with the Gentile owner. And more than that, now the Gentile owner has a lot to lose, right? Because the Jew can say this, he has claim to the wine. So before, it could have been that the Gentile says, you know, big deal, if the Jew catches me, so I won't give it to the Jews, I'll sell it to the Gentiles. But now that can't happen because the Jew has claim on this wine. He's already got a contract or receipt that he can collect on. So then mutter, when you have that third condition in place, namely that the Jew has a receipt that he's paid for already, he can get it whenever he wants, that coupled with the surveillance issue of A and B of the previous Mishnah will be enough to make the wine remain kosher. Aval, however, im yirtze Yisrael lahotzio, if the situation is that if the Jew wants to come and collect his wine, Ve'enu manicho, and this vav is questionable here, so either ve'enu manicho or just enu manicho, the Gentile will not allow him to, ad she'itin lo es ma'osav, until the Jew pays for the wine. So now the Gentile had the upper hand all along. He stands very little to lose if he, you know, falls out of favor with the Jew by messing with the wine and so on. Zeh haya ma'asa be'shan, this very situation happened in Be'shan, va'asru chacham, and the chacham said that wine becomes forbidden because it's like the same kind of thing as like the Jew. A couple Mishnahs ago, when we had the Gentile standing over the boar and not knowing what he's doing there. So if he had, like, if his milveh, if he had a loan, the collateral on this wine, then he has some claim to it. We are afraid he's going to mess with it and becomes aser bahana. Same too over here. If the Jew hasn't got a receipt that he paid for already, the Gentile can say he has an economic claim in it. We don't know what he did with it, and therefore it's aser bahana. Okay, fine. So the way that the Mishnah comes out, according to the Bar Tanura, learns like Rashi, is that you need to have all three criteria met. It needs to be that you have the possibility of surveillance, Jews doing their surveillance, that's A and B, and C, the Jew has a contract that it's already his, he's paid for it, he can take whenever he wants. Now, if you can't meet the first two conditions, because there's no Jews in town, or the house doesn't have windows where it's being stored, then you can, instead of that, hire a watchman to guard it, okay? Alternatively, according to the Bar Tanura and Rashi, you can essentially lock the door and put a seal on the vat. That's like, so you can't, you know, break in without being detected. You've opened the wine barrel easily because, you know, and you've locked the door. That could take the place of a shomer, okay? And then, so that's another alternative. And that, as long as the Jew then has this third criteria met of being having the contract saying he's paid for it already, that would allow it to be kosher wine. That's what the bartender learns, like Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam rejects it out of hand. Rabbeinu Tam learns that it goes without saying that the wine is already under lock and key and that there's a seal that can't be tampered with by the goy. If that's not in place, forget it. We don't know what's happened. But even if you have the wine barrel sealed with a seal and you have the room in which it's stored locked up with a key that the Jew has that presumably the goy can't get, then that's not good enough. You need to have either the previous Mishnah or this Mishnah in addition, meaning either you have the issue of surveillance, so you either have it being locked, sealed, and open to the public, where there are Jews observing it, or it's locked, sealed, and you have a shomer watching it. Failing that, and if you don't have the surveillance issue, instead you could have, if it's sealed and it's locked away, if the Jew has, let's hear in Mishneh Base, if the Jew has a contract he's paid for already and he can get whatever he wants, then again that will be permitted, coupled with the being under a lock and key and sealed. So either or. As far as Halacha L'Maisa goes, it leans more towards the way the Rabbeinu Tam learned it, meaning that the wine needs to be essentially under both sealed and under lock and key, and then if it has surveillance, either from the Shuz Rabbim, from the Jews who are like occasionally there, or from an appointed Shomer, then it would be remain kosher. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Rama says that b'di'evid, if it was either sealed or under lock and key, and it had the surveillance of the Jews, even if it's a nechus v'yotze, then it also would be okay. Similarly, if the Jew had a receipt that he's already paid for this wine, so it's his wine, and the wine was kept with a seal on and under lock and key, where the only Jew could have access to it, again, it would be okay even without any like kind of ongoing Jewish surveillance. And the Gemara seems to come out even more lenient yet, saying if it's got the double seal on the wine, the lock and key, then even without surveillance, even without the contract that the Jew has in his hand, still, if it's double locked, essentially double sealed, that's enough to know it hasn't been tampered with, and it would be permitted according to the Gemara.